intensity. Aunt Amelia, his voice carried down from the top of the stairs, followed immediately by the sound of his bare feet on the wooden steps. Did I hear an owl? Birthday, he said, holding up the letters as he reached the kitchen.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance Weekly Call. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern right here in this startup media room. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up on a scripture reading this week. Let's see. Tonight, I think it's 1 John chapter 3. Let me see. Yep, 1 John chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Okay, I guess we'll start off with some questions. Jan, how many questions we have tonight?
Well, we have some questions and we have some statements.
Okay.
There's no questions in them. Some of these pertain to the document and some don't.
All right.
So shall we start with the questions first?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay. This concerns a redemption center, and that kind of caught me off guard because I have not been looking into redemption centers. And it says, I have received an email which tells me to come to a redemption center 2.5 hours away and says you must purchase an astronomical amount of redemption certificates. Is this real or another scam? Your response is appreciated.
Right. I'm not sure what a redemption center is. I mean, do you understand the question, Jan?
Well, I think it's money exchanging for other things, either different. You know, some people bought money from different countries and so on, hoping that it was going to greatly increase in value. Either that or it's the supposed money change within this country.
Yeah, well, maybe if whoever's asked the question is in the room, maybe they can ask and clarify it a little more in the mic. I just don't understand the question, so. All right, we'll take the next.
Okay, you mentioned that statutes, rules, regulations, and the like are not for the people. Can you expound on that, and how can it be proven? Also, is it possible to denote via the dynamo?
Well, tonight we're going to look at the extraordinary presentment we put together, and I think we have a section here that talks a little bit about that, so let's hold off on that, and then I'll address that as we look at this presentment. Now, we're only going to read the presentment part. I mean, it's quite long. We expound on you know, the history and the problems that have taken place over the past, 250 years. Actually, a little more than that, because it goes back to 1750, where the problem really started to get pretty bad here in the Americas. We were colonies then. So let me just make a note of that, and we're going to look, and I'll take a quick look through the presentment and see if we can read some information on that particular subject.
Okay. You mentioned that statutes, rules, regulation, oh, that's the one I just read, in your book, Court Access in the Common Law, is there an example of notice of demand, or is the affidavit of default one in the same?
Yeah, let's take a look at the course we have here. We have Court Access in the Common Law course, and of course we have the book also. They don't follow the same process as far as the chapters are concerned, but pretty much most of the information is in both, although there is some things that's additional in the course that's not in the book, and I think we could say the same thing vice versa for the book. There's things in the book that's not necessarily in the course. But of course the main point or the focus of the course is on how to access the course, what is due process ultimately. Okay, so we'll take a look at the tables, and the question that they're looking for is, what was the question again? They're looking for filing a...
They want to know if they're the same.
A default and... Is
a notice of default and an affidavit of default.
Well, you need both in order to do so. So let's see if we can find that here pretty quickly. Let's see, control find. And we'll do notice, because I think notice will pick them both up. Okay. Well, maybe I should do default. Let me try default. you know, as I'm looking for this, basically, you need a notice, you need an affidavit of default. Okay, that's the first paper that you really have to work and to file, but you have to file it with a notice of default. And I really wanted to see if we can find that here quickly. Let's try default.
There was the affidavit of default.
Yeah, here's an affidavit of default here. This is on a traffic violation. I think we have something here. Here's another affidavit of default. This gives some basic information and gets into some details, talks about it, I think, in this one. No, that's just the affidavit of default, which is really the structure of the default itself. It's an affidavit for a default judgment, which is what they're looking for, right? The default judgment. Let's go up to the next one. Here it is, a motion. Now, you have to file them both together, okay? Motion for a default judgment. So if the other side has defaulted, basically but not showing up, not responding within a certain period of time, it's usually 30 days with a couple of days grace, then you can file into the court and serve on the individual that notice of default with, of course, the affidavit of default. So in the course, you know, there's information on this and the details of filing this and putting it together and some information on the process. Same thing as in the book. We have the same information in the book. So pretty much that's it. It's two papers. One is the affidavit of default. The other one is the notice of default. And I believe they charge $40 or something, $45, I think, here in New York. One of the things, of course, we're going to be looking at in our paperwork tonight is the fact that why should we, the people, be, you know, filing anything with money? Why should we be paying for justice? Not that we get justice in their courts anyway, because they've stolen our courts of justice, and therein is the purpose of the extraordinary presentment we're going to be looking at tonight. So, one form and with an affidavit of default. Okay, next.
Okay, I would like to present this question to you tonight in the video meeting. I have a writ of war or peace on the innocent that is done and I've sent to you in the group, but you have ignored repeatedly and refuted during the video meetings, so apparently you haven't ignored them.
All right, what is it that they have some kind of a paper?
They have a writ of war or peace on the innocent.
Okay, I don't know, I didn't see that, or I didn't read it. Did you look at that? Was that a paper?
No, I did not look at the writ.
All right, well, maybe we'll look at that next week, maybe. I'll take a look at that paper and see once. I didn't look at any of the questions for tonight.
Okay.
I don't know. All right, anything else?
Let's see. There are really no further questions. There are some statements, but no question to them. So I guess that's it.
You want to read these statements? Are they long?
Some of them are not too bad. You want me to read them?
Yeah, if you read a few of them, you think it's appropriate, go ahead.
Okay. I have read through your writ, and it is well written and shows the treason of our public servants and bar lawyers. But it makes a grave error. The grand jury is an investigative body acting independently of either prosecutor or judge, whose mission is to bring to trial those who may be guilty and clear the innocent. The innocent cannot be cleared. They are innocent. It is the presumed guilty that violated a right that must be cleared for violating a right with minor negligence. The guilty are those who violate the innocent with premeditation, as our public servants and bar lawyers do with their laws of wrong statutes.
All right, I don't know that I have any disagreement with that, but pretty much, you know, when a grand jury looks at something, and one of the problems with the grand jury today, of course, is that they're controlled by the Bar Association, you know, the bar lawyer. And, of course, the trial jury seems to be controlled, of course, by the bar judge. For instance, statutes do not offer due process, just as an example. And if you went into, let's just talk about jurisdictions that have nothing to do with us, but they pull us into them all the time, and that is the traffic court. Now, if you are, let's say you are ticketed for driving without a license. Well, the fact of the matter is, and the case could be made, that I don't need a license to drive. So that becomes a problem, of course, because you get a ticket, and the judge will tell if you were to get a jury in a trial in a traffic court, which of course for something like that I doubt they would permit any kind of a jury. There'd be no reason for it because they do everything off summary judgments in those courts. But bottom line is this: if you get a ticket and the ticket says that you were driving without a license, and they have these statutes that require some kind of a fine or some kind of a penalty concerning that, well, then you're guilty. Therefore, there is no due process. The fact that we are not under statutes is the key. And it is clear that we have the unalienable right to travel. And that, of course, would be by whatever means is available to you. You know, many years ago it might have been horseback. Today it's a car. And so our right to travel is an unalienable right that cannot be licensed. But they do. So that's just kind of an example of the problem that we have with statutes. but just for a quick response to statutes, and I'm thinking about it, I do believe we have something in the papers that we're going to look at tonight. Not that I'm planning on reading all these papers, it's 104 pages, but we're going to look at some of it, and it's helpful for me to read it out loud also. Jan, did you get a copy of the paper, and Eric, or anybody else here? I don't know if Terry's here tonight. And if you guys did, I don't know if you have any comments on that or any corrections that maybe we can look at something.
Terry is traveling tonight, and yes, I did get a copy, and I started working my way through it.
Right. Yeah, it's a long paper. It's 104 pages. The main part of it, of course, is the presentation itself, and I think that's about 12 pages roughly, and I think we have a lot of footnotes on the pages, and they're double-spaced, so, you know, it's not like they're long pages, each one of those particular pages. But we do have, a lot of information concerning the history. But we'll just kind of briefly go through that. And I do believe we have a section in there talking about this particular situation, and we'll see. But generally, just as a response, because they were looking for proof, and I'm thinking if we can try to find some proof in the paper. But very specifically, in the Constitution, well, we can go right back to the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence puts us under the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the key. That's the law. And in return, we receive his blessings. Our law comes from the Bible, ultimately, and God said he wrote the laws in the hearts of all men. And so we know the law. No one needs to tell us that stealing is wrong. We know that it's wrong. No one needs to tell us that murder is wrong. And many, many other things. We don't need statutes for that. So we are not under statutes. We go into the Constitution. The law is broken up from the standpoint of there's two types of law. You know, the sovereign makes the law. We, the people, are the sovereign. Ultimately, God is the sovereign. He's the sovereign of the universe. But he's given us authority to be the sovereign over those who rule over us. And so it starts off with the Declaration of Independence, which is a covenant with God to live under his law and receive his blessings. And the Bible tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we are a nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, if you go into the Constitution itself, in the preamble, it talks about the blessings of liberty. So, this whole process of liberty is the blessings that we receive from God. And we then spoke specifically on what law we have placed the government under. In the Declaration, again, in the preamble, it says that we the people ordained and established, so we're the kings, we ordained and established this Constitution for them. And so therefore, the law of the Constitution is written for them. And we've given them powers, 18 powers in Article 1, Section 8 and 9. Of the Constitution, particularly 8, I think, and there's a few other things in 9. But there's 18 powers that we gave for legislators to write law. We were very specific and detailed. We didn't give them any powers or authorities to write any law or any statutes that would govern we the people. Now, the rules of the law is the rules of common law, which brings us to common sense. Even statutes run under the rules of common law. Of course, that's the main focus of our paperwork tonight, because we're going to be looking and talking about the problem with due process, the problem with the fact that they have stolen our courts of justice and changed the law and moved us from law under God to Roman law and creating statutes and then applying those statutes against us. And again, as I said, you know, if you break a statute, well, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with us to begin with anyway. But if they try to apply something upon you that's written in a statute and they claim that you broke it, and the judge tells the jury if they broke that statute, you must find them guilty, well, that removes due process. You don't have due process. And that's the key thing. We're not under statutes. Statutes are written to control the government agencies, the agencies themselves. They're written to control commercial activity. In the case of the U.S. Constitution, it's interstate commercial activity. Each state controls their own commercial activity within their state under their constitution. And, of course, interstate is controlled by the U.S. Constitution. So that's the key thing, understanding the difference between law and equity. And if you look up law, L-A-W, it's usually with a capital L, and that is natural law. If you look it up into Black's Law or Bouvier's Law, it'll talk about that which proceeds according to the common law or to the natural law, which is an unwritten law. It's the law of the heart. It's the law of common sense. And even when a law is broken, okay, there's always the consideration of mercy or extenuating circumstances, which statutes cannot give you those two items. So again, that takes away courts of justice. So that's the key factor and the key points to the law. And again, you can find this in both Bouvier's and Black's Law. I'm just looking real quick. called the law of the land. It's in Article 3, which places the government underneath and gives them the power and the authority, but they must be obedient to the laws, the law of the land, which of course is the Constitution, which is a very small book. And one of the things they need to do is to secure a Republican form of government, and I do believe we cover a little bit about that in the presentation also. So, anyway, I guess that's all I got to say about the law. All right, so there's no more statements to be made, and no more...
There is one more, John.
Right. And by the way, before we go into that, anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you've got an app or browser, should be a button to get into the queue. Those who are on an app or a browser, you should be able to see our desktop. All right, good, Jim.
Okay, you have done similar filings, and there has been no response or actions taken. I believe our president needs to do something similar to what President Lincoln did and bring in the military. A general house cleaning is required. I do not believe the Supreme Court will do anything. Congress enjoys what the past has handed them. Most of them are corrupt. I appreciate your inclusion of Congressman Tim Burchett. And along that vein, I was reading the other day about Marjorie Taylor Greene, that for her last law, she proposed five people who could then be considered to be honest politicians signed on, including herself. That's herself and four others. So that leaves, what, 530 corrupt congressmen.
Okay, yeah, well, that is a major problem. That's up to the people to do the repairs. Of course, President Trump is setting the stage. You know, if anybody's who's been listening to Q over the years, and, you know, there's a few podcasters that still go back to lay out the statements and different information that comes outside from Q, it really speaks of what's going on today. And during that process, which I think it was, what, 2018 to 2019, is what it was when Q was active and speaking. And often Q would make the point or the statement. And a Q, again, is military intelligence. It's the highest intelligence in the United States. And, you know, so Q is, well, again, Q has said many times, future proves past. So a lot of people were looking for different things to happen when Q was putting out all this information and over those couple of years. And then it kind of settled down and people kind of stopped talking. Q stopped talking, bringing things out. But now, of course, there's a few people who have opened up a lot of this information, and we found out that Q was really talking about today. So it's like kind of looking into the newspaper that was written some years ago, a few years back, concerning the issues and the problems and the situations taking place today. And military is the only way, is something that Q had mentioned many times. We do know or believe that Q Plus is Trump himself, and Q Plus has posted a few things, of course, in the Q, goodness, what would you call that? Well, the releases, I guess we'd say. So, now, as far as, look at, we have done a lot of work. We've been working on this for quite some time. I'm trying to think when we started filing the first papers. I think it was 2014. And we filed many, many cases. We filed many habeas corpuses, non-judicial foreclosures, and a few types of other cases that we've brought into the federal courts into the federal courts, concerning trying to get justice concerning these things, the lack of due process, and so on and so forth. And that's the key thing. There is no court in the United States that gives you due process. It doesn't exist because they put us under what's called civil law, and that's what the Rules Enabling Act had done. And again, that is the main focus of this paper, is the fact that they have abrogated the law of the land and replaced it with civil law, which they refer to, if you talk to a lawyer, they'll still outright say it's law that comes out or was structured underneath Roman and Roman law, which is the law of man and not of God. It has nothing to do with us. But that's what they've done. They changed us from a republic to a democracy. They changed us from the laws of nature and nature's God to the laws of man. And that's the battle. Now, Scalia, and when he was alive, was battling this problem concerning the problems with the Supreme Court and the fact that they will do everything they can to ignore, to conclude on any kind of a constitutional issue, which is really where they're supposed to be focused in on. They're not there to be focused in on issues themselves, but only constitutional issues. And you know, and protect individuals that their unalienable rights are being violated, and our rights mostly are violated, particularly in the courts. For those people who haven't been into the courts, they really don't realize how serious it is, because due process is just violated all day long. We have a right of a trial by jury. You can't lose life or limb. You can't be imprisoned, go to jail, or anything without first having due process. That's in our Constitution. It's also in the Bill of Rights. Well, it is very much in the Bill of Rights. Pretty sure it's in. There's probably some language in the Constitution that covers that with due process, of course. I think if Scalia was still alive, we'd have his ear. I think Thomas is a lot like Scalia in many ways, and I think we'll have his ear. I think it's a time period, and we've been waiting for this time, that, you know, the enemy is coming to the point of becoming weaker and weaker through the work of what Trump is doing. I think when you put the truth before people and they see that the end is near, and whatever has been controlling them, particularly the Supreme Court, whatever has been controlling them, because believe me, everything's under control to some degree, that removal of that control will give them the opportunity. You know, I do think that we do need critical mass behind this particular paper. I think we've been looking for critical mass for a long time behind all the work that we're doing. But this is the pinnacle of it. This is the climax. This is the main focus of the paperwork. And we file some papers and presentments to the Supreme Court, and they've sent them back. We're doing it a little bit differently because we're focusing in on the chief clerk, and maybe we'll look a little more into that, but we're going to be filing it directly to the chief clerk, and you'll see that on the front page that we have. Now, I think from listening to Trump and his administrations over the years, I think they've been a little more concerned with their language when they talk about being a democracy. I know Tulsi particularly has changed over from democracy to a democratic republic, and I've heard others within the administration use that term too, which of course is an oxymoron. It's against itself. A democracy and a republic do not, you can't bring them together. That's like bringing water and oil together. The idea that people think we're under democracy is because we elect individuals to represent us. That's just a common sense way of electing people to represent our positions and who we are as a people by election. But that's not a democracy. You know, a pure democracy is where everybody gets to vote. And then there's another democracy which is a little more watered down. We actually do vote individuals in, and they have free range to discuss, debate, and try to bring whatever laws they please. Which will always bring us into statutory prisons, which is where we're at right now, because they went off they went off the track. We're a republic, which is a people of law. Being a republic, the law is the key thing, and that brings us to the Constitution. We've given them powers and authorities. And we've defined those powers, and we defined those authorities. And we were very specific. 18 powers to legislators. No powers to write law to control, people. We are to control of ourselves. And anybody driving down a road, for instance, thinking a little bit about traffic law, you know, people are not going to just blast through red lights or things of that nature. It's all common sense. We're going to stop and we're going to wait for the light and let people cross and the cars pass by going the other direction, you know, the opposite direction. And then we'll move on to green light. I mean, it's just common sense. If you're driving at 3 in the morning and there's absolutely nothing, you come to the light. Common sense, why not go past the light? There's nothing here, nobody there, no cars, no people crossing. That's common sense, but if you get caught, you'll get a ticket for that. And once you get that ticket, it denies due process because you did break that law. You got to give it to the opportunity to the people to decide. And there's no way, first of all, going through all these traffic violations, you'd have trial juries constantly going, oh, it just is senseless or crazy to begin with anyway. But at least if they did take you to before the people, you have the opportunity to show the people and prove to the people that you're not governed by that, and that's a jurisdiction that you're not under. Jurisdiction must be proven. And we're under only one jurisdiction, and that's the law, which is natural law. Now, they've taken that away from us. I know I got a... I don't know, have you had a chance, Jan, to take a look at that? You sent me a website with some guy that is teaching things about the law. I don't remember the name of it.
Caleb
Yes, yes, that guy.
His first name. I forget his last name.
Yeah, I started listening to him. He's not teaching due process. He's not teaching what we're teaching, but he is teaching specific, you know, situations and details. For instance, I started listening to some of his tapes. I thought they were pretty good. And one of the tapes, I think it was tape two, I forget. He was talking about the illegality of tax on property tax. And he went through that pretty good. Of course, if you wanted to go battle that in court, you're going to have to know how the court system works, how due process works, discovery, and discovery is part of due process, and what the rules are, so to speak, that are expected of people within a court. I didn't see that he's teaching that directly, but he is teaching a lot of good stuff. So if you combine what we're teaching and what he's teaching, I think you get a lot of good stuff. So I'm going to continue to look into this guy, and right now I do feel kind of comfortable. I did drop him a line, waiting for him to give me a response. I'd like to have a conversation with him. But I think we might post his website up on our website, but I want to look a little deeper into it before I actually do that. But what I've seen so far, very beneficial, especially people who are in the courts. So, all right, just real quick to see if there's anything else we want to think or do before we go into the paper. And I'm not going to spend too much time on the paper. Like I said, I'm going to read part of it, which is the presentment part. As I'm looking through that, just want to let everybody know, reminder, that the queue is open. And anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on an app or browser, there should be a button. And hopefully we can get a conversation about this. We are looking for any kind of corrections. There might be some things I've missed. And I was reading through it a little more today, and I was making a few little changes. Matter of fact, the changes I made were very minimum so far. And they show up in red on the paper that we're going to be looking at right now. I'm hoping to file this week, but I am interested in talking with this guy. His name is pronounced Kaleb. Is that it, Jen? Kaleb? Something like that?
I don't know. I don't remember his last name. Like Caleb, no, I thought was his first name.
Caleb. I think Kaleb, but it's Caleb. Yeah, K. I'm interested in talking with him. I think he could be very helpful for what we're doing because he is a lawyer. And a lawyer who's broken away from the bar, and he gave a really, really good video teachings, I guess you'd call it, on the Bar Association. And he's come up with the same conclusion that we've come up with, ultimately. He might use different words, but they're the minions of the New World Order. They're a communist movement. They're destructive. Their whole purpose has been and has always been since 1750 is to destroy the courts of justice and replace them with their system of courts. And, of course, that brings us underneath Chancery. So they have what's called Chancery Courts, which they've turned all the courts in the United States to Chancery Courts. That's what we're under right now. And we need to move it back. Now, we've been communicating with the people that we are copying on this paper. We have been communicating with them for quite a few years now, and we've sent all of those individuals on that list a copy of the book Government by Consent. And again, we don't know how much they really know. A lot of those people are lawyers. Hopefully we can wake them up. Lawyers are very difficult to wake up because, after all, they spent a lot of money to get an education and they were taught a lie, and they believe that lie. I've had a few conversations with lawyers, and they're hard to wake up. I mean, they really are convinced we're under Roman law. And, I made the error of using the word common law instead of natural law in my you know, arguments with these people, but now I try to use the word natural law, because that is in total opposition of what they're thinking. They think that common law is trial court decisions. And to go back into the trial court decisions, which trial court decisions are really nothing. I mean, there are many, many, many bad trial court decisions. And there's a lot of trial court decisions that should have been appealed, and they wasn't appealed, and then they try to use them as law. But a couple of things, you know, there's a principle of common law. Things similar is not necessarily the same thing. So no case is similar enough to be able to use to make any control over, you know, the case that we might produce or bring into the courts. But so, you know, right there, again, that's what's called a maxim of law, ultimately. But again, that also lacks due process, because it's held up as law. And so lawyers will say, well, the common law is really the trial court decisions. But common law, and you go into, again, Black's Law and Brovier's Law, it's natural law. And it's the foundation of who we are as a people, because it's in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is the foundation of our law. That's the foundation of our justice system. That's who we are as a people. And and so, you know, a court has a king, and in their court, of course, you know, the chancellors or judges, but they really are chancellors, that's what they are. There are some places like Pennsylvania, they'll call judges chancellors, and there's other states also that do the same thing. But they're all chancellors. No matter what court you go into these days, they're all chancellors, and we're under chancellor, which again is legislative law. So that's problematic for us. That's what we're really battling. Now, bringing all this information to President Trump and his administration and a few key senators and a few key congresspersons, I think especially non-lawyers, which there aren't too many of them, but there are some non-lawyers around him, you know, those individuals I think are the ones we'll reach. Trump himself is not a lawyer, so if he's read our papers, I think we should spark some interest in him. And I do think we've got interest sparked. You know, look at, he knows, he's mentioned, our court system is major, major problems. Look at the assault. Matter of fact, I just recently heard him talking about this and how they came out after him. You know, the moment he came down that escalator, it all started. And they were trying to take him down, trying to, you know, get, you know, prevent him from running from office again on his second term, which it actually was his third term, if you consider the fact that he did win the second election after the first election. But in any event, I think he either understands, maybe we've added to his understanding, or maybe we woke him up and he's got this understanding of how serious the courts are. And we have to hope on that. And there's numerous ways to get rid of these people in the courts, because I think they all got to go. And it depends on how it works out, you know. I think a lot of judges have broken the law. I think we have a lot of goods in them, and I think that a lot of them are going to start going to jail. But the big problem is the Bar Association, because they're the ones that teach them the law, and they teach them the fake law. They teach them civil law. And so we have to get rid of the bar schools. I mean, maybe they can, well, again, how do you salvage something like that is so hardcore on that? I don't know. An education for a lawyer is an important part of our process. You know, they have to be educated. And we can be self-educated. But those that are lawyers, especially different kinds of lawyers, they have to be principled and understanding and equity, because we have, what is it, I think it's 57 different codes, U.S. codes, and each one of them have a purpose. They have a focus. For instance, you know, Title USC Title I is just general provisions. USC Title II is the legislation that controls Congress. USC Title III is legislation that empowers and controls the president, and so on. You know, you have Homeland Security, you have armed forces, you have education, and education has got to go, which is under Title 20, and he's already got, you know, he's in that process of getting rid of the education control and giving it back to the states, and which should give it back to the people on the grassroots level. And that's what, you know, when you have the meetings with school, that's these people that run the whole process. They're supposed to be obedient to the people, but of course they answer to someone else. So anyway, we have 57 different U.S. codes, and there's a lot of things. I mean, on the president itself, it's like 1,000 pages, okay? And a lot of these things have thousands of pages in them, and people have to be educated in this. And that was the purpose, the main focus of what the Bar Association is to be all about. As far as the law is concerned, they should be educated in the law. No judges are supposed to come into a court of law. Although judges are magistrates, magistrates can come in and act as a traffic cop in a court of law, maintaining, you know, the process going through. But it's open all up to the people. And their rules, which is the problem, and there was a conspiracy, ultimately, between the Bar Association, the legislators, I think it's 73rd Congress, the legislators, and the United States Supreme Court back in 1934. They collaborated to destroy America, ultimately, by bringing in the rules of common law, which is the very process that changed our law system completely and brought us under civil law, the law of man. And again, that is exactly what our paper is about. So we're looking for interest not only in the administration, but also in the military. We do know that the military will probably have to make a move at some point. You know, he's really starting to go after these people now. So who knows what's going to happen. Q has said many times the military is the only way. So the military will come to at some point in time. Now, we got these upcoming elections, and I think it's going to be a huge, huge landslide towards the Republicans. And I think we're going to be able to get two-thirds in both houses. I mean, that may sound kind of crazy on the one hand, but I think we have to realize how much cheating they have been doing and for how long. I mean, they've been doing this for a very, very long time. They've been cheating all of our lives, ultimately. And you know, so their power and authority was in their cheating, their ability to cheat, where dead people would vote, and they'd use that. And, of course, we saw what they did in the last couple of elections with the mail-in votes and all of these illegals, many, 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 many millions of them, and their gerrymandering and all this stuff, which is all collapsing on them. And I think we're going to see that, you know, it might break up to, you know, pulling the Democrats together also as much as the Republicans and the independents and whatever other groups might be out there, factions. I think people have been woken up enough that I think 70% of the people, maybe even 75% of the people, are going to be pushing towards the realization that we need people in there that are going to obey the law. We need people that's going to back up Trump, and because I think a lot of people have been woken up. And I think the opposition is 25%, maybe even less than that. And those individuals, you know, it's not nice to say, but it is the truth, is they seem to be mindless. They seem to be, first of all, they're hooked up and stuck on the news, the network news. I had a short conversation with a woman in a gas station recently, and she mentioned something to me. I forget what it was, and I came back with a statement and basically talking about what's going on as far as with the administration, Trump administration, and what the real enemy was, and talked about the deep state, talked about the New World Order, And this woman had no clue on what I was talking about. None whatsoever. So you do have a group of people that really have been listening to fake news for so long. I mean, we've all been living in fantasy land for a very, very long time. We just didn't know it. We're just waking up to that. Some of us earlier than others, but we're waking up to that. So I think we have a good opportunity to really bring in a lot of people in Congress. And one of the there's going to be a cover letter going in. We'll read that at another time, going out to President Trump and his administration and a few individuals in Congress and the Senate that we're copying on this. Basically, talking about the fact that you know these judges, they need to be impeached. They need to be tried, okay? And the impeachment goes through Congress and the trying goes through the Senate. And that's what needs to be done. That's one way to get rid of these judges. The hard part is getting rid of the bar. That's a hard thing to do, but it has to happen. And the contrast that makes our case is natural law or the law of man. That's the contrast. And so that's the battle. We need as many people as possible behind this. We need to get this paper out far and beyond, wherever we can get it to. Get it to podcasters. Maybe they'll give us a call, trying to make contact with us, and we'll go on to their podcast and talk about it and get the information out there more and more and more and more. So I think that the timing is right. Now, a couple of things. We're going to be attaching some papers. I think most of what we're going to do is list out cases. We've got hundreds of cases that we'll be listing out as evidence of the conspiracy, which we'll attach to this, and we'll probably put a paragraph probably in the presentment area. I don't know whether we'll put it in the presentment area or the next section, which really lays out the history. But whatever, we'll figure something out on that. Now, there's a couple other people. You know, I've shared this paper with the leadership here over the past weekend here. And so we'll be looking for some feedback. Anything, and anybody else that can read, that's reading along with this, if they can give us some feedback, it's welcomed. If we miss something particular we need to bring up, or if any major corrections that need to be made, or maybe to add a couple of words here or there that might be something we'd consider. And I know every time I write a paper and then I go back and read it, I'm constantly changing it, massaging it, using better words and better phrases, or catching a thought that drops. And that's a problem. Or sometimes I'm redundant. I say something too many times. Redundancy is good, though, to some degree, because it forces it into the mind of the hearer, and it helps us to really kind of, you know, get it connected in our brain as a major framework of our thinking. So redundancy could be good. Redundancy is also good when we're going into different subject matters. And you'll see that we've broken a lot of things up here, which we'll talk about when we get to it. Laid out different problems in different areas. And we might use some Supreme Court rulings or some constitutional statements or some quotes from founding fathers or whatever. We might repeat ourselves in one area as we did in another area. And that's, of course, the necessity. That kind of redundancy is a necessity in order to build a point on whatever the subject matter is that we're trying to build upon. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through this, again, I'm not going to read through a whole lot of this. Maybe we'll spend 20 minutes or a half hour, and then we'll open up the queue for a conversation. And hopefully we can stick on this subject, but we'll discuss other things too. All right, so the beginning of this, and just for educational purposes also, make the point, this is what's called the cover sheet. When you go into a court, you should always put a cover sheet, and that would be this. We are filing this directly with the clerk. And again, you know, I think the Supreme Court, they're not stupid people, okay? And we do know we have majority good people up there. And I think they realize America is teetering on its end. And I do think that they need to realize that they may have to make a major stand on something they never would have done before. So this paper, if we can get it before them, they have never gotten our papers. They have doorkeepers there to prevent our papers from getting to them. That's been the problem. We're going after an individual this time. And that individual we're filing this with the chief court clerk, Scott S. Harris. And so we're addressing it particularly to that person. And we made the note on the front page, which I added. This isn't on the original draft that I had posted. It's in red here. With a file on demand under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076, which makes it a crime. They could be facing up to 20 years in prison if they intercept this paper, if they hide this paper, if they destroy, mutilate this paper. They face up to 20 years in jail. And that's why we're going after an individual, and we're going to be looking for a signature, and we're trying to make the point. Okay, so just to look at the cover sheet here, this is the grand jury presentment to the United States Supreme Court, filed to the chief clerk, court clerk, Scott Harris. This is a national emergency. It's an extraordinary presentment. And we make the point that the jury is an unalienable right bestowed upon us from God via natural law, and we codified it in the Bill of Rights. It's codified by we the people. I guess we'll read this. This is Scalia wrote this. This is in the case United States versus Williams, a very important case, especially to we the people. And he wrote, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts, over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter, at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists. A grand jury is empowered by law to conduct legal proceedings, investigate potential criminal conduct, and determine whether criminal charges should be brought. Given the grand jury's operational separateness from its constituting court, it should come to no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory powers as a basis for prescribing modes of grand jury procedure. Over the years, we have received many requests to exercise supervision over the grand jury, and they've been pushing to this for a very long time, supervision over the grand jury. They do control the grand jury anyway, and that's a major problem. We do cover this in this paper. But the grand jury is an evidence-taken process, but we have refused them all. So the point is we are outside of the arm of the judiciary. We are free and independent. We are the lawmakers. We wrote, we the people, ordain and establish the law, the Constitution, for them. We the people are the deciders of the law. We the people, being the grand jury, decide whether we think there's evidence to support taking someone into court to be tried for a particular crime. Okay, that's by we the people, we make that decision. We the people are the juries. We're supposed to be free and independent. And we're supposed to be have the power and the authority of nullification. And juries don't know this. And we need to orientate the juries on these things. But in any event, they need to be free and independent. They need to decide the facts. They need to decide the law. And they can negate the law. Okay, they can nullify the law. And laws usually come into play in certain areas in a court. Generally speaking, civil laws don't apply. But if a person being tried as someone in commercial activities, they are controlled by regulations and statutes, and they have to be obedient to them. And if they break them, they can be held liable for some penalty. The people can look at that particular law being applied on that individual in that kind of a case, and they can make the decision, well, we don't think it's a good law, we don't like it, so nullified. And that's what nullification is really all about. Accusations of charges, claiming that they broke the law, people can nullify that. And it's up to the people. They decide innocent and guilt. They decide the law, they decide the facts, and they also decide the penalty with an eye on restitution, which doesn't seem to exist in any places of our courts. You'll see people being hit with fines or something when they violated another individual one way or another, and the people don't get that money from the fines. They just bring the people in to get the charges, and then they throw them out. They're out into the streets. That's it. There's no satisfaction. There is no way that they get any kind of justice, really. Okay, so there's no restitution for the individuals who've been violated. Okay, notice the agent is notice the principal. File on demand under penalty of law. I'm not going to read through this. Just the first one I'll read, clerk, is to file the attached prima facie documents without judgment under penalty of law via 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076. Remember, they are under statute control. That's why we bring up statutes here. If a judge or another officer in the court intimidates, threatens, or corruptly persuades clerk to conceal, remove, mutilate, obliterate, or destroy these prima facie documents in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 1512, the clerk thereby enters into a conspiracy and we punish to the full extent of the law. And when we look at these different codes, it could be up to 20 years in jail. And we're not going to read through those codes right now. The table of contents, we have the cover page, we have the file on demand, we have the table of contents, which we're looking at now, we have the table of authorities, which we'll breeze through, and those who we have copied, we'll breeze through that. And then we get to the extraordinary presentment, which is what we're really going to be focusing in on tonight. Then after that, there is the exposition of our presentment. And that, looking at, let me move this back here. This exposition really is a systematic interpretation or explanation, usually written, of a specific topic. And the topic, of course, is the extraordinary presentment. So this is the information to back up that presentment with building the case of the violation of the different things we're going to look at. Okay, but, just real quickly, I'm not going to look at all these things and there's a lot of reading here. We're not going to read through all these things. But the people are the author and the source of law, the grand jury authority, how the unified United States common law grand jury was formed. The United States of America has been abrogated. They've made us they've taken us from being a republic to a democracy and actually ruled by an oligarchy. And we have been incorporated everywhere, and we're under corporatism, which ultimately is Nazism. So again, we've got a paper on the fox and the hen house. We have Faithful Performance, which is a paper that judges are supposed to be obedient to. We have information on what they've done with the writ of habeas corpus, jury stacking, the balance of power. A lot of great subject matters, and there might be something I missed here, and this is where it would be helpful if someone sees something that we should add here, and we'll add it. We have only one exhibit added at this point, and I didn't attach it to this paper, but it will be attached once we perfect the paper. And then there'll be attaches of cases, a lot of cases that we've used really for the purpose of proving conspiracy, because the way they deal with the case in New York is the same way they deal, whether it's the Southern District or the Northern District, or if you go into Montana or Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maine, and you have the different couple of courts that are in those states also. Wherever you go, they all rule the same way, and that proves conspiracy. Okay. Okay, we have the table of contents, a table of authorities, and this is a list of all of the different cases that we had quoted in this paper throughout, and constitutional quotes, Bible quotes, quoted statutes that we've quoted, and other general quotes. And then the individuals we copied, will be copying the individual listed here. I'm not going to read through all of them. People can take a look at that. And this is very important to get this out. If people listen to certain podcasters, you should try to get copies to them. You should try to get copies to anybody and everyone you can think of. And also, just a note, I should probably be bringing this up every Monday night. We still have our campaign for constitutional sheriffs going. And people should be getting a copy of the book, and we've made it as cheap as possible, Government by Consent, and that's a very, very thick book. It's 550 pages. It's 8.5 by 11, written in 10 font, So there's tremendous, tremendous amount of information in there. We have a whole chapter on the sheriff, you know, from the beginnings of the sheriff on to the powers and the authorities and the sheriff of today. There's a lot of information, and every sheriff should have that book. We also have a handbook we wrote. I don't want to get into that too. Well, let's just take a quick look here. Under our welcome tab, you can come down to books by John Duresh. And this is where you can purchase these books. And again, I've made them as cheap as possible. These books, you know, these are law books. And these books that are written by lawyers and different things, and they're all on the civil law, I mean, they'll be selling them literally for hundreds of dollars. You know, we're only charging $39.95 for this book. And even to that, I had to leave it up to that point because there is a limitation that that they require here through buying it on Amazon. You know, they give you certain limitations. You have to charge at least this much. I don't know that they have maximums on it. I don't remember. But anyway, we try to make it cheap. But a good book also to get for the sheriff, and get a few of them, really, and give them to the sheriff deputies, is the County Sheriff's Common Law Handbook. Okay, that particular book. And it's 103 pages. And, you know, you can read a couple of the pages in here. As a matter of fact, this particular handbook is literally free up online. You can download a PDF copy, and you can find that under... Let me get back here. You can find that under Starter Committee of Safety and come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools. All the handbooks that all but one handbook, which is a court handbook, is the only one that's not available for download. And again, they're like $10. The particular handbook that I'm talking is like, I think, 300 pages, and so it's a pretty hefty book. And anybody going into the court should have that kind of a book, because you can get a lot of things off the fly when you're in a court and bringing up your points and arguments and so on. But again, the County Sheriff's Common Law Handbook is a really, really good book that to get to our sheriffs, to wake them up. But the ultimate book, of course, is Government by Consent. And so that's the campaign we have going. We have to educate our sheriffs, and that's the only way we're going to do it, is to get these books out to them, and then build a committee of safety, which we're not going to get to that tonight either, but we've spoken about that many, many times, and I'm sure we'll talk about it many, many more times. But the committees of safety should have a relationship with the sheriff, should be educating the sheriff, and supporting a sheriff that is supporting the Constitution, and if not, you need to recall that sheriff and put someone in there that's going to be obedient to the Constitution. Okay, so let's go back here to the paper. This is an extraordinary presentment to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, Sureties of the Peace Concerning Seditious Conspiracy. 18 U.S.C. subsection 2384 applied upon them, seditious conspiracy. If two or more persons in the state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, which is what they do, or by force prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, totally guilty of all that, or by force to seize, take, possess any property of the United States contrary to the authority thereof, shall each be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. Okay, original jurisdiction, law of the land, Article 3, subsection 2, also known as natural law and equity. Laws of nature and nature's God, found in the Declaration of Independence. That's the jurisdiction of this paper. We're coming in here for misprision of treason. And whosoever, and this is important also, whoever owing allegiance to the United States, and that's you and that's me and that's anybody that's a citizen of the United States or anybody in government here in the United States, it's their duty to respond to this. Whosoever owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of the commission of any treason against them conceals and does not, as soon as may be, disclose and make known the same to the President or to some judge of the United States, that's what we're doing, or to the governor or some judge of justice of a particular state, is guilty of misprision of treason and shall be fined under this title, imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. I had a date here, May 13, that's my target date, but there are certain individuals I want to talk to about this paper, and I do want to get some feedback also, so you need a little time, so it's probably going to be later than that. I hope to get it by the end of the week out into the, and have them served. Okay, the affirmation of acts of treason, Bouvier's law, presentment properly speaking, is the notice of taken by the grand jury of any or offense from their own knowledge as of a nuisance, a libel, or the like. In these cases, the authors of the offense should be named so that they may be indicted. And the authors of the defense is the federal judiciary, which we have already indicted, and the American Bar Association. Comes now the constituted, unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, here and after we the people, for an unprecedented presentment and an order to the United States Supreme Court, being the overseers of the federal judiciary, Article 3, Section 1. All officers of the court or clerks that avert this presentment by removing, mutilating, concealing, or covering up by any trick, scheme, or device these material facts herein, thereby preventing this presentment from reaching the justices of the United States Supreme Court, will be held liable for aiding and abetting pursuant to 18 U.S.C. 2381 and U.S.C. subsection 2. I think there... Let me make a mark here. I need to look into this. I think there should have been a longer number here. You know, it's good for me to be able to read this, articulate this out loud, because I've read through this a few times and I didn't pick up that there's something, looks like something's missing there. Okay, nothing in this presentment is to be interpreted as being under civil law, which is repugnant to the common law of the land. This is a case concerning treason at the highest level. On November 10, 2014, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, I'm going to say we the people from this point forward, filed a writ quo warranto on all federal state courts and all elected officials concerning said seditious conspiracy, and then we refiled it again on May 13, 2015. Every single person in authority in every single state and the United States of America was served that paper. And we did a lot of it by faxes. Back then we had 10 faxes running 24/7 to get information like this out to a lot of elected individuals and appointed individuals and so on. Sheriffs, everybody. Okay, let me see where I was at. Let me just reread this part. On November 10, 2014, the grand jury filed a writ quo warranto on all federal and state courts and all elected officials concerning the said seditious conspiracy, and we refiled it on May 13, 2015. All respondents failed to plead and defend. The record shows that no returns, objections, nor more time was requested to answer. They just ignored us. Every single elected person ignored us. Whereas silence can only be equated with fraud, where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. We the people are demanding declaratory judgments that will restore our courts of justice and obedience to the law of the land. We the people codified our unalienable rights in the Declaration of Independence when we said, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce us unto absolute despotism, that's where we're at, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for our future security. This presentment is the beginning of that process. In 1934, the 73rd Congress, acting outside of their authority, as we the people ordained in Article 1, Section 8, in an act of sedition, passed the Rules Enabling Act, perpetrated by Congress, the American Bar Association, the United States Supreme Court, and the federal judiciary, which have poisoned every attorney and every court in America by replacing law and equity with civil law in 1938. And to see this paper attached, which talks about that. Subsequently, together, said perpetrators did conspire and did overthrow the government of the United States of America by abrogating the People's Courts of Justice, turning them into a den of thieves in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2383. And, you know, we got lots of footnotes, and we give a lot of explanations on a lot of these things. And this is a good education on learning how to write papers, by the way, for those who are taking the course. Okay, and 18 U.S.C. subsection 2384, whereas the ABA, the American Bar Association, being the chief orchestrator, advocates, abets, advises, and teaches the duty, necessity, desirability of abrogating the law of the land to the minions of the New World Order, also known as the bar attorneys, in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2385. This single treasonous act abrogated our courts of law, courts of equity, Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and its capstone Bill of Rights. Esquires are unwittingly taught and convinced that we are under Roman law and a democracy fashioned under Rome through outcome-based education and having no proper K-12 education. They also, through an outcome-based education, receive the lie and thereby are transformed into the minions of the New World Order, and thus covertly change our republic in the minds of the people to a democracy, and our courts from a common law court to chancery courts. Their belief in what they've been taught is so strongly embedded into their minds that they are blinded to the truth being we are a common law constitutional republic fashioned under Israel and the Bible, and that we are we the people being sovereign ordain the law. Let me reread that. That sounded a little odd. The truth being we are a common law constitutional republic. I think there probably should be a comma there. Fashioned under Israel and the Bible, and that we the people being sovereign ordain the law. Remember, we are the sovereign. We are the lawmakers. That's proven by the fact right there in the preamble. We ordained, we established this constitution for them. We are the kings of the court, so to speak. Now, the king of our court is Jesus Christ, because we're a Christian nation. He wrote his laws into our hearts, and that brings us under common law. And 12 witnesses, just like 12 witnesses who witnessed the fact that he was and who he said he was. Also, we get that. That's where we get the 12 witnesses from, which is the jury of 12. Okay, they make the decision. Okay, they're the ones that decide, the deciders. They are the sovereigns of the court. But the true sovereign of the court is Jesus Christ. And if we follow our hearts with an eye on justice, we will fulfill the will of the king of the court, for we are the king's bench. And when you go into law, you'll find that all law courts have a king's bench. The question is, who is the king? Is it man? Is it the judge, the chancellor? Is it the legislators? Or is it God? And there's only one that opposes to God, and that's written under law, capital L-A-W. That's under God. Also in law, at law, or just law. These esquires enslaved we the people via statutory prisons constructed under Roman law, which was fashioned under Babylonian law. The destruction of our republic required an army of well-trained minions working diligently for the New World Order. They accomplished this by operating bar schools, and over time convinced the people, little by little, that we are under civil law and not common law. This was initiated when the King of England sent swarms of esquires in 1750, when we were the 13 colonies, to change our courts of justice under God's law into chancery courts under man's law. You see, common law was already in effect before the Constitution was even written. This was solidified in 1938 when the ABA steered United States Supreme Court under the supposed authority of the Rules Enabling Act, established the ABA written federal rules of civil and criminal procedure, and the states steered by the ABA followed suit, thus replacing common law with civil law throughout America in every single court. There is not one court of justice in the United States of America. I haven't found one yet. Anybody's found one, let me know, because I'd like to get into that court. Said conspirators have levied war against the Constitution and thereby we the people. They have given aid and comfort to the enemy within the United States and elsewhere. They have concealed the conspiracy to destroy our republic. They have engaged in actions to subvert the government of the United States. They have conspired to conceal natural law, also known as the law of the land. They have, in congruence with the teachings of the American Bar Association and National Lawyers Guild, the American Civil Liberties Union and National Lawyers Association, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and many other anti-constitutional associations, knowingly and willfully abrogate, abet, advise, and teach that natural law, and thereby the law of the land, has been abrogated, and thus have conspired to overthrow our republic. Under the rules, under the ABA's rules, Enabling Act of 1934, the 73rd Congress allegedly enabled the United States Supreme Court the authority to prescribe rules under 28 U.S.C. 2072. The United States Supreme Court and federal judiciary then covertly abused that authority to conceal and abridge the supreme law of the land under Federal Rule 2. According to the Federal Judicial Center, a government agency, on September 16, 1938, pursuant to its de facto authority under the Repugnant Rules Enabling Act of 1934 via Rule 2, stated that the Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts. Under the new rules, suits in equity and suits in common law were grouped together under the term civil action. That's civil law. They changed the law, claiming that rigid application of the common law rules brought about injustice. And then, of course, that paper is attached. We mentioned it earlier. This was an act of treason, whereas any judge who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution of the United States wars against that Constitution and is engaged in acts in violation of the supreme law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. The American Bar Association's judiciary's dark reasoning for abolishing common law is because they claim that a rigid application of common law rules, also known as God's self-evident truths, called maxims, brought about injustice. This is absurd, considering that God is good, just, and merciful, and they are not. And therefore it follows that his law is just and merciful, while the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? The truth of the matter is that common law sheds light on the American Bar Association judiciary's dark deeds, thereby revealing their true intentions. Their claim that common law rules brought about injustice was an act of deflection, whereas their civil law rules brought about injustice. This seditious act, under the teaching and guidance of the subversive American Bar Association and the aforesaid anti-constitutional associations, executed a silent coup by claiming the abrogation of the common law and its unalienable rights that were endowed by our Creator, and covertly substituted them with civil rights legislated by lawless men. The American Bar Association Federal Judiciary Center, proceeding under the de facto authority of 28 U.S.C. 620, claimed their purpose is to further the development and the adoption of approved judicial administration in the courts of the United States. One of the center's main functions is to educate and train personnel of the judicial branch of the government, including but not limited to judges, magistrates, clerks and courts, clerks of court, probation officers, lawyers, and persons serving as mediators and arbitrators. Presently, the center's governing board is chaired by the Chief Justice of the United States, John G. Roberts, Jr. As per Black's Law, the law derives from precedents, legislation, or custom under three categories. Common law, subject to natural law, written by nature's God in his word and the hearts of men. Equity, under our Constitution, is subject to the Constitution written by the people, by the authority vested in them by nature's God via the Declaration of Independence, which was a covenant with God and therefore cannot be broken but by his wrath. Civil law is subject to the state. That's what we're under. subject to the state. Any law subject to the Constitution written by the state is civil law and not equity written by men whose conscience is seared. The Constitution defines the law of the land as common law and equity as the supreme law of the land, whereas the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or the laws of the states which include the rules to the contrary notwithstanding. It appears that the judges who are expected to know the law need to be instructed in the law or are guilty of high treason under 18 U.S.C. 2381, whereas Congress alone was empowered under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18 to write laws in equity compatible with the rules of common law. Congress does not possess the power to abrogate natural law. That jurisdiction belongs to God alone, whereas the ABA indoctrinated judges think that they can change God's law. They think that they are above God, that they can change, just change our natural law to civil law, which places the people under the merciless, destructive jurisdiction of Leviathan. This action is the very definition of a coup, and the said defendants are therefore guilty of treason. Until we the people take back our stolen republic by reinstating natural law and equity governed by the rules of common law in our courts, there will be no justice in American courts, and America will be lost, least until the people rise up to end it. James Madison said, "The people have an indubitable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to reform or change their government whenever it is found adverse or inadequate to the purpose of its institution." We the people agreed and codified this right in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence when we declared whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our rights, it is the right of the people to alter government and institute new servants. We the people have the unalienable right to be free, to have access to our courts of justice, and to have government by consent. As Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will of legislators, authorities of men, but only to have the law of nature for his rule. The Rules Enabling Act violates the people's unalienable rights to common law rules and common law courts of record, as we read in Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value of the controversy shall exceed $20, the right to a trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. If the United States Supreme Court rejects the settling of this national emergency under the rules of natural law, then we the people include in this extraordinary presentment the removal of the justices of the United States Supreme Court. Presently, there are too many compromised congressmen and senators to start hearings of impeachment to remove judicial subverts to save our courts. We do suspect that enough people have awakened to possibly elect enough patriots in the upcoming 2026 midterm elections in both houses to start articles of impeachment to save our republic. Alternatively, we the people, being the sovereigns, considering our very public is at stake, we the people demand that the president command the military to act and secure what the tyrants took, an oath to obey, protect, and uphold, a natural law republic. Therefore, we the people demand that the United States Supreme Court do their sacred duty to guarantee a republican form of government. So we're giving them that opportunity. Under Article 4, Section 4, by restoring the law of the land and open the doors of justice and restore the people's courts of justice, which proceed according to the courses of the natural law of the land under Article 6, Clause 2, or resign your office for not honoring your oath that you have taken, or face the wrath of this grand jury under Article 3, Subsection 3, for warring against the Constitution. And we the people, without your obedience, without your obedience, there is no justice. This presentment is not a prayer. It is a demand by the sovereigns that vested you with the powers under Article 3, Subsection 1 and 2, whereas in the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. The Congress cannot invoke the sovereign powers of the people to override their will. Whereas via these repugnant acts of the Supreme Court abrogated the law of the land, replacing courts of justice with chancery courts, thereby trampling upon the Declaration of Independence, casting nature's God out of our courts, and by rule ordained judges as king of both equity and law courts under the will of man and not God. This compounded Congress's act of treason, forming a conspiracy between two branches of government to overthrow the will of the people and thereby the government of the United States. Psalm 33:10-12. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He make the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of Jehovah standeth forever, the thoughts of his hearts to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. To deny this true presentment is to deny the sovereign people as well as our Lord, and become willing participants in the concealment of treason in violation of USC 2382. I think that's probably under USC 18. I better go add that in. Let me put a yellow on it. Okay, the damage done to the people in our judicial system by the aforesaid act of the 73rd Congress and the 1938 U.S. Supreme Court is incalculable. This repugnant, subversive act shredded the United States Constitution, the law of the land, and all state constitution under Article 3, Section 1. The judges both of the Supreme and the Inferior Court shall hold their office during good behavior. Therefore, any judge denying the unalienable right of due process in a court of natural law is in bad behavior and must be removed. Whereas, said rules covertly abrogated the laws of nature and of nature's God, the foundation of our founding documents we ordained in the Declaration of Independence. It covertly abrogated our courts of justice, also known as the courts of record, under natural law, and replaced it with chancery courts under civil law. It covertly abrogated due process codified by we the people under Amendment 5, placing the people under summary judgments by ALJs, that's judges, administrative law judges. So I'll just use the word judges when we come to that. Judgments by judges, more precisely, and here and after, chancellors. It covertly abrogated the natural law codified by we the people under Article 3, Section 2, and replaced it with civil law. It covertly abrogated suits of common law codified by we the people under Amendment 7. It covertly abrogated the king of our court, namely Jesus Christ, and placed him with chancellors. It covertly abrogated free and independent grand and petty juries, placing them under the control and the will of chancellors and prosecutors. It covertly subjected the people to be liable to legislative commercial laws. It covertly abrogated the will of the people and replaced it with the will of chancellors. It covertly gave power to chancellors to deny a republican form of government. It covertly gave power to chancellors to deny evidence. It covertly denies the sovereignty of we the people. It created this and seized power not granted to Congress or the courts codified by we the people we the people under Amendment 10. Get rid of that. It abrogated the sovereign's writ of quorum nobis. It abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum vobis. It abrogated the sovereign writs of auditia, querela, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, audita querela. It covertly abrogated the rules of natural law in both law and equity courts, placing we the people under the chancellor's rules that are applied as law, thereby removing common sense governed by the doctrines of Jesus Christ. It turned over control of our courts and the writing of repugnant rules as law to a foreign entity known as the bar, via the American Bar Association. It abrogated the law of the land, replacing it with Roman law, also known as Babylonian law, under the name of civil law, via Rule 2. It fundamentally altered the forms of our court. It politically motivated chancellors to covertly take powers that were not vested them, egotistically assuming these are their courts. And since Congress and the Supreme Courts can't obey the Constitution, why should they? After all, they are not accountable, while they falsely claim that they are sovereign and thereby not liable, and thereby boldly they deny jury nullification. They deny free and independent juries via jury tampering. They deny habeas corpus that was codified by we the people via Article 1, Section 9, Clause 2. They deny citizens' privileges and immunities codified by we the people via Article 4, Section 2. They abridge freedom of religion, codified by we the people via Amendment 1. They abridge freedom of speech, codified by we the people via Amendment 1. They deny our rights to bear arms, codified by We the People via Amendment 2, to protect us from tyrants. They denied impartial juries, codified by We the People via Amendment 4. They applied double jeopardy through hung juries, codified by We the People via Amendment 5. They refused to secure God's blessings of liberty, whose justice will not sleep forever, codified by We the People via the preamble. They deny our writ of quo warranto. They abrogated the fully informed free and independent juries, grand jury, to be orientated by the people. They abrogated the fully informed free and independent pettijuries to be oriented by the people. They changed common law to mean judicial comedy. They provided for debtors' prison via federal tax courts, controlled by foreign bankers, for their unlawful tax schemes under the pretense of a fictional interpretation of Article 1 courts that does not exist. They abrogated Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, that denied direct tax for the repugnant 16th Amendment, a repugnant law that they had the power to nullify. They abrogated prayer in school. They abrogated the Bible in school. They replaced our unalienable rights gifted by our Creator with privileges via the civil law. They transported us to jurisdictions unknown to be tried for pretended offenses. They assault innocent people with trumped-up charges and send SWAT teams to destroy people and put their families' lives into jeopardy. They maintain status quo rulings in opposition to the law. They have refused obedience to the Constitution. They send hither swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out their substance. Samuel Adams said, and I know this is redundant, but I did this one purposely, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth and not to be under the will of the legislative authority of man, but only to have the laws of nature for his rule. Then we go into the exposition of our presentment, and there's quite a bit of information. We're not going to read this. This is, about 90 pages at this point, and it breaks up into all the subjects that I mentioned quite a few of them in the beginning. We looked through the table of contents. But let's just drop down to the last page here. Okay, and I do strongly suggest people read through this entire paper. Take your time, even if you have to do it in numerous readings. But it's an education. It's a real eye-opener, especially to those who haven't taken our courses, especially to those who are new to this website here, National Liberty Alliance. And especially, it's a necessity for those who are studying law, due process through our course that we teach here at National Liberty Alliance, which let me just take the quick opportunity to make that point. If you come under Education Starts Here, you come down to Court Access and the Common Law. This is the course that we offer to teach people how to come into the courts, how to file papers, all the different forms, the process, the procedures, and how to defend yourself, basic mindsets, lots of stuff. It's a 90-hour course. We only charge $125. And we teach the common law connected to that. Or you can go down to your local college, and I believe it's 6 credits. I forget the price each credit, but that comes up to a little over about $13,000, roughly $13,000 to go through a course of due process for the law. Their course on that due process, which is supposed to teach you how to write papers, we do it under the common law, though. Their course is 60 hours. And like I said, it comes to about $13,000. You might get a little cheaper, $10,000 or $12,000, you know, in different colleges. I don't know. You have to search that out. But ours is $125. Anyway, you can read through this. We lay out what the course is all about. We lay out the listings of all the details, the court access, the common law table of contents, a tremendous amount of information we teach. I mean, you can just go through this list and you can see it. Tremendous amount of information. We teach people also to some degree how to write papers, but writing a good paper ultimately has to do with experience, and that experience comes from reading, and that reading comes from reading other people's papers. If you read the papers, we have tremendous amounts of papers up on National Liberty Alliance. Not only our front page, the paper we're writing for a presentment, and all of the necessary things that we spoke about and that we're not going to talk about tonight added on to this. It's an education in itself. You get to learn. You get the first 3 hours of the course free right here if you click on this button. You will get commercials here, unfortunately. I have a, I pay to YouTube. I don't remember what it was, $15-$20 a month or whatever it is. So I have no commercials. And I think a lot of people do that maybe. But in any event, it's annoying. As soon as you can skip the first ad, you should be able to push the button to open this up in YouTube. Is it YouTube? No, I think we have this up on Rumble. So now it's a private. Those videos are private, but they're accessible right here, right off of our page.
Okay, I probably shouldn't say this here, but see how perfect this looks?
Do that.
It's not by accident.
Okay, anyway, people should be going through that. And you can go here to federal court cases, and there's a lot of cases in here, a lot of cases we've written. You can really get an education off of them as you're taking the course. You can learn how to write. It's very helpful. The right kind of language you want to kind of use. You'll kind of pick up on it as you go through the papers. That's how I learned to write, by reading other cases, especially Supreme Court decisions. Okay, and we do list of some very important Supreme Court decisions. Okay, but going back here, this is the final page. Order and adjudged by we the sovereign people, the author and source of law. We, the sureties of the peace, on behalf of all the sovereign people of the United States, command the United States Supreme Court to obey the law of the land and make the following declaration, ordered by ordering all federal district courts obedience to the following. And meanwhile, of course, we need to be educating especially the new people. Anybody that has a representative in Congress that has their representative is good, whether it be a congressman or a senator, you want to get them a copy of the book, Government by Consent, and start educating them now. But once we get the elections, I think there's going to be a lot of change off. I really think we're going to overload both sides, both the Senate and the Congress. That being the case, then the new people coming in, we want to get books to them. Hopefully a lot of people will be taken to Democrat places. So anyway, you also want to get them a copy of this paper, okay? People can download this copy and send it out. I'd love to send it to everyone in Congress, especially those that are the patriots, and the same thing in the Senate, but I can't afford to do that, which, by the way, we're talking about that. We do need monies. This is not free. We have lots of printing. We have a lot of serving. Got to go through the regular mail. It gets a little expensive. We've had one person give us $1,100 for this to help us with this process. We had another person gave us $500. They didn't say what that $500 was for, but we presumed it was for this process. And we had another person give us $100, and I think that's it. Maybe we had a couple of people giving us something under $100. I don't remember. But the bottom line is we need money. And I don't know of anything more important, save the Bible itself and the preaching of the Word, save that. I don't know if there's anything more important in this world than what we're doing right here. This is the way to save the Republic. If we don't save our courts, we're not saving the Republic. No matter what Trump does, he can bring us back to a position where we should be. But if our courts remain lost, this nation will only return back to where we're at right now. It's only a matter of time. So everybody should consider supporting this. Send us some donations. You can click on a donation tab on the top right side of a website. Okay, let's go back to the final paper we're reading. I'm going to start from the beginning on this paper. Order and judged by we the sovereign people, author and source of the law. We the sureties of the peace, on behalf of all the sovereign people of the United States, command the United States Supreme Court to obey the law of the land and make the following declarations, ordering all federal district courts obedience to the following. Declare the order and declare in order natural law, the law of the land. Declare in order the reinstatement of the courts of justice that proceed under natural law. Declare in order the reinstatement of the rules of common law in both law and equity courts. Declare in order all federal district courts to close down the unlawful tax court and order the release of all unlawfully held political prisoners in their debtors' prisons. Order obedience to the people's writs. And anybody who went to jail for any of that, at some point in time, you should suing the heck out of these people. Order the obedience to the people's writs. Declare 28 U.S.C. 2072 repugnant to the Constitution. That's the Rules Enabling Act. Declare the nullification of the Federal Rules of Criminal and Civil Procedures. Declare the nullification of the Federal Rules of Evidence. Declare the nullification of Chancery Courts. Declare summary judgments in courts of records null and void. There is a place for summary judgments, though. We do discuss that in our law course, and there are a few occasions where we can use them and should use them. Declare an order that proof of jurisdiction must appear on the record. Declare an order that people have a right to free access to the courts of justice. Declare an order that the people have a right to practice law in courts of law. Declare an order that grand and petty juries are free and independent and have right to decide the facts, law, and judgment with an eye on restitution. Declare an order the unalienable right of the people to orientate the juries. Overturn Engle versus Vitale and Abington School District versus Shrimp. Those are the two cases in 1963 that first removed the Bible and prayer from school. Both those cases were, you know, somewhat back to back in 1963, and I remember when that happened. Okay, order and adjudged, and again, this date, I don't know what the date's going to be. I think it's going to be later than this. I think it's probably going to be Friday, I hope. And then signed by the grand jury foreman, sureties of the peace. Now, an important paper to read on this is how the Unified United States Common Law Jury came to be. So people should read through that and see how we brought this all together, because we did visit every state of this union and went into most of the counties in these states, gathered people together, and it was almost unanimous around. We did have some problematic people, as you get anywhere from time to time, coming in for disrupting things, because that's what they do. But other than those few, you know, it was pretty unanimous. People did want to see us come back under the common law. They did want us to proceed and pursue the things that we're pursuing, you know, the jury administrators, and also, of course, learning the law and creating committees of safety. So very important. But anyway, people should read this entire thing. Get it out to podcasters, share it on X. And by the way, we do have an X account. We should try to get as many followers as possible that will take the things that we do put up. I usually put at least two things up a week, sometimes a little more, but generally two things a week on X. And you can support us on X by following us. It's National Liberty Alliance at NLA Darash, Darash. So anybody that's on X or wants to get onto X, follow us. Repost whatever we post, because that's what gets us higher in the rankings. That's what gets us more people viewing what it is we're doing. We need to hit critical mass to be successful. I do think it's possible to be successful without critical mass. That's going to be difficult. If it's God's will, either way, it will happen. Again, we need the support of the people, and we need financial support. Okay, I know that took quite a long time. I'm going to open for a little later tonight, because we do have people in questions, and we're coming up on 11 o'clock. It took a lot longer than I thought to read through this. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, we only got one person in the queue. So if anybody else wants to get into the queue, we'll spend a little more time. We'll go over time. But Ross, you got the mic. How you doing? You should be unmuted now.
You hear me?
I can hear you, Ross. How you doing, Ross?
Good. I was saying this to my sister-in-law that we need to restore the U.S. Senate. She said that would never happen.
What will never happen?
Restore it to the U.S. Senate to the original.
Well, look at
configuration.
I can understand how a lot of people can say that and think that. First of all, if it's God's will to happen, it's going to happen, and may very well be God's will to happen. After all, you know, we're trying to reinstate the king of our court, and the king of our court is Jesus Christ, the creator of this world. And so, therefore, that's a good possibility of just looking at it potentially that way. You know, the Bible is clear. Read about this. Let me think. It's Isaiah 14. That before he comes, he's going to judge nations, and that will also involve probably the reinstatement of his law back under in his people, which we are his people. We, our founding fathers, looked to us as Israel, the latter Israel, I guess you'd say. There is a phrase that the Bible uses. I just don't recall it at the moment. But in any event, we do have a lot of people on our side. We have good opportunities. We're educating people if they're reading this. We only need a few people to read this in the Trump administration, only a couple, because those couple that do read it, which will probably be people who are not lawyers, maybe some of them will be lawyers and will read it, and they'll be awakened. But the people who will read it, I think they will see the power and the authority and the necessity of getting this paper out and forcing the United States Supreme Court to comply will be removed. And I do believe that Congress and the Senate, we're going to win them enough to get the two-thirds required within both houses in order to go through the process to get rid of these people. That's a possibility. We have to shoot for the moon. We have to shoot for the best we can shoot for. We'll take whatever we get. But again, if we don't restore our courts, there's no justice in America. And we will return back to where we are. But the few people that are in Trump's administration that do read this, I think they'll see the importance of this and the realization of the necessity so powerful that they will spend the time to convince the others to read and look and consider. You know, again, you know, we're not just making statements here. We have done lots of research. We've been researching these things since 2013, I think is when we started really deep researching. But here's the key. We have a table of authorities. This is our authorities, okay? I have looked at a lot of cases. I've read through a lot of cases, and I've looked through their authorities. No one has given as much authorities in any case as much of the authorities that we give in this case. Tremendous amount of authorities. And these are Supreme Court rulings that back up our positions, our points, our thoughts, our conclusions. And then, of course, we use the constitutional quotes. We've got Bible quotes, quite a few Bible quotes. After all, you know, the Lord is the king of the court. And then we use a lot of their statutes and then many other quotes. So we have authority. We have power. We the people are the lawmakers. That's clear. We laid that out clear in this paper, although we didn't get into those details. In order to get into those details, that's where the necessity is to read the exposition of our presentment, which is all of these different papers, okay, that are inside this, presentment. So, but yeah, you get people who are negative on it, if the people want to be ignorant and free, they can't have it. How does Jefferson put it? If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And to get enough of a majority which will overwhelm their majority, it's going to require us to hit critical mass. For every 1,000 people, maybe we have one or two people that are really serious and are doing something about it. Unfortunately, that's how bad it is. The rest of those people, the 999 people of those 1,000, at least you people should be supporting us financially to be able to do the things we do. And this is not the only thing we need to do. We have a lot of work to do, especially working with the committees of safety. And then once we get into the courts, you know, once we can turn the United States Supreme Court, it's a slam dunk to turn every court in these United States, all 50 states, because they all have to be, you know, repaired also. They have to resurrect the law of the land and bring back our courts of justice. And we need to do that by force, and we will do that by force through the federal judiciary, or shall I say, well, the federal judiciary once it's been cleaned up. So that'll all work its way out. But there's a lot of work also training people to become administrators in order to orientate the juries and to also move into the courts. These would be paid positions, full-time job, 40 hours a week, working out of the courthouse within your county. But, you know, if the courthouse in the county next door is closer to you, you can work there. But we need 5 people in each one of these courthouses, 4 administrators, okay, and one person who has a background in the law, you know, and that person also would be an administrator. So there's 5 people in every county. So again, critical mass will give us the majority necessary to make the changes, make the move, to do the things we have to do. And it's up to the people to give us that critical mass. It's up to the people that are here at this meeting. It's up to the people who are listening to this on YouTube and Rumble. It's up to those people to pass this information out, get this paper out. I don't know, I didn't cover this tonight, but a lot of people who got the newsletter do know this. Let me go to the front page, which is a welcome page. We have grand jury presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the draft, which is the presentment to the Supreme Court, which we were just reading, okay, if you click on this button, you will get a copy of that paper. But I will ask, I mean, if you want to share the draft, that's fine too, but I'm going to get a paper up here, which would be the concluded paper. And that's the paper we really want to get out to everyone. But you can share the draft and make the note that we will, once we update and perfect the drafted paper, then we'll just replace that with presentment to SCOTUS right here. The word redraft, the word draft will not be there any longer, and you'll know that we have the original, you know, the one that's going to be filed. You can also watch the video and if you want to add your affidavit to this, we have instructions on that. That time is about running out, so anybody wants to do that, now just read this info. Okay, back to you, Ross. We do have a couple other people in the queue now, but go ahead.
Is this saying why some people will say we should vote for your senators, not the state legislatures?
Well, you should vote for everybody up for a re-election this coming, you know, election season. People who are patriots, you know, I hate to tell people vote down the Republican line, but right now maybe that's a good point. If you don't know who these people are, vote down the Republican line. You want to get people who are going to support Trump. Trump will be making note of the people that he's backing, and we'll have that info. But we have to get majority, not just majority, we have to get supermajority. Supermajority is two-thirds. We have to get supermajority in both houses in order to get rid of these judges. And then all these judges can be impeached. And I do believe, and I will make the case to Congress if they get the majority, that every judge needs to be removed. And we have to, the Bar Association, well, I've thought about that. I have a different plan for them, which I'm not ready to talk about. But
yeah,
we have to deal with that.
You're not answering my question. I'm not talking about the court system. I was talking about your Senate, how you restore the original configuration of your Senate.
Yeah, your state Senate and your state representatives, right?
Yes, to vote for your senator.
Right. Well, look, those people are also important to put into proper place. One of the things we have to push, and I don't think I put it here. Let me think about this. Yeah, I did put it in here. You do find it in the papers later on. We talk about the balance of power was destroyed with the 17th Amendment that got rid of the senators from being appointed and elected by the legislators of the states. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
What we have to return back to them. But nevertheless, we have to really start to pay attention and vote in the right people. Generally speaking, it should be the Republicans down the line. You know, at some point in time, one of the desires here of National Liberty Alliance is put together information on our pages where people can go in, and this is going to cost a lot of money to do, so hopefully in the future, some point, someone with big bucks or something, or, you know, look at if all of our members gave us just $5 a month, we'd have so much money we'd be able to do the thing I'm going to talk about, plus everything else we want to do. Because we have over 10,000 members right now, and $5 a month is $50,000. Okay, that's huge. That's enough to pay people, go professional, and pay for a lot of projects, you know, the cost of those projects and so on. But that's not going to
happen. A year.
I'm sorry, say that again. I missed that. You yield?
Yield is past the time, anyways.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to stay open just a little longer because we got two other people in the queue. And I want to get to them, so we're not going to spend too much time on them. And hopefully we'll talk more about this next week. So we'll take it from there and see where we go. All right, Ross, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, our next caller, Terry, you got the mic. What state are you from, Terry?
Minnesota.
Terry from Minnesota. You got the mic.
Yeah, right by Sioux Falls, South Dakota. In your writ, I'm the one that mentioned that, you know, the innocent do not need to be cleared because they already are innocent. So that was one thing I wanted to point out in the writ. And then the second thing I wanted to point out in your writ is that you have the writ of quo warranto, but you don't have the finishing part and default on all three. You've mentioned the writ of quo warranto three times in your writ.
Okay, yes.
And a default is when they write a warrant against the innocent.
Okay.
And that's when they default on their offices.
Well, they definitely default when they didn't answer. They have a duty to answer. And when you have a duty to answer and you remain silent, that's fraud. That's clear.
Did you say answer what? Answer what?
Our writ of quo warranto or any of the papers. We've sent a lot of papers to these people. We had spent a couple of years running 10 fax machines 24/7. We bought a computer just for the fact to put all that information, every sheriff, every elected individual on the federal level, every elected individual on the state level, all the way down through the courts, everybody. And we were sending them information. We were sending them one-pagers. We were sending them more information than that. We were sending them to come to the website to look to get more more information and an education and so on and so forth. And in all that stuff that we did, they remained silent. That's conspiracy also right there. They didn't respond.
What I'm saying, though, is my point is the innocent, and then also the point of writ of quo warranto. When you issue a warrant against an innocent person and force them into court, that's when they default, and that is a conspiracy. You're absolutely correct. And what I've seen...
I do agree and understand what you're saying, considering putting in there the fact that they did default on a writ quo warranto. But I'm not sure, you know, how, your point or how we might express that point concerning the innocence. So give us some more information on that.
The job of every human being on this planet is to defend the innocent, and that is their job. By default, their job is to defend the innocent and America. We are America. The sovereign people of America are not the guilty. The sovereign people of America are the innocent, those that have not violated a right, or if they did commit a crime, they paid their penance, and they are back to the status of innocent. And what I'm saying there is that these guys do not know what an innocent human being is. I'm saying that they do not know what the default of warranto is, and default? They don't even know what that is. Our Supreme Court doesn't know what it is. They do not know what due process is.
I disagree with you on that. I agree that a lot of the lower courts, they have no clues on the things you're talking about. But when you get up to the federal court, most of the law highly...
I don't want anybody to agree with me.
No, but it's important to find agreement. But let me just make this one point, and you finish your statement.
Anybody to agree with me, I want people to seek the truth. And the truth is, when you are prosecuting the innocent and you're doing premeditated prosecution of the innocent through warrantos, what you're doing is you're doing premeditated theft, and you're doing premeditated murder, and you're doing premeditated slavery of the innocent. Every person here in America is now a slave to our servants because they have written themselves the laws of wrong. They have the law of right, which you call common law or natural law, is the law that comes from God, the law of right, the right to be born, the right to live, and the right not to be owned when you're innocent by anybody. And they have given themselves the right of wrong to own us when we are innocent through the writ of warranto. And by, you know, as you mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, when they do that...
Saying right there is clearly stated in the Declaration of Independence.
Right, it's stated very clearly. That's what you mentioned in there, that they've gone through and they've defaulted, and that they should all be taken out. And so somebody mentioned that the job of the military is to go and clean these guys out. That is my writ of war or peace on the sovereign citizens of America. That's my writ. And so my...
I would make that point in the presentment itself, commanding the president to do that, which it may be very well a necessity, and it's part of his plan anyway, but hopefully his plan also moves into the justice system. I do think there's a lot of bad judges out there that they got a lot of bad information on, and there's going to be a lot of judges that's going to be indicted. But it goes far beyond that. There's not a judge on the seats up there in the federal level in any of the federal districts. There's not one judge who has opened the doors of justice, but have closed the doors of justice, keep them remained, refused to give people the unalienable rights that we have proclaimed in our founding documents. So they're all guilty of treason, every single one of them. Every single one of them needs to be, actually taken out of office, and we need to refill these people. You know, it is unfortunate because, you know, I do listen to you'll get to hear the senators talking to these judges that are going up to be potential federal judges. And it's just unbelievable, the ignorance of these people, the lack of knowledge of the Constitution, and their ideas are all off the wall and outside of the law of the land. So we're getting a lot of people into the system that have no clue on what's really going on. But generally speaking, up to most recently, and I'd say, when I say most recently, I'd say maybe the last 8 or 10 years, with the exception of the last eight or ten years, most of the judges up there, they're highly intelligent. They understand what we're talking about. They know what we should be. Scalia spoke about this, and I do think the other justices know that. They read each other's work. They were there with Scalia. They've read what he wrote. I think Thomas is very close to a Scalia. But we do have some good people up there. I think we have a great opportunity here. This is the people's job. Let's not depend on Trump to do everything. Let's not depend on him to clean up our courts. Let us clean up our courts. The people have to get behind this paper. They have to support this paper. They have to support the work we're doing to get this paper through. Okay, so we need people to do that support, and we need the financial support. We still need more money, but we're going forward with what we have, and we'll see where we get to.
But you don't think a writ of war or peace upon the innocent to the military courts is the answer? You think it's through the Supreme Court?
No, I don't think that. I think the answer to...
Can I finish my question first?
I've looked into the JAGs. And I've just recently looked a little deeper. There's a lot of them involved with that. There's thousands of people involved with that. It is mostly focused in on military justice. But you are right that they can come out onto the, into, you know, and deal with the problems that we have because it's that bad. But it's really going to take the president to put that order out. We have sent orders to JAG of all the services, the Navy, the Army, the U.S. and so
on. My writ is I make it so that it's a writ where they choose to either
We've done that already. We've done that already, and we've got no response from them people either.
Well, I'm going to deliver it to the National Guard to give to them to look at, and what I've got on the bottom of it is that refusal to give this to their superiors and for them to collectively answer to America, here is treason of the highest magnitude. And so that's where I am going through and trying to, because I've already done this with the Supreme Court, the Minnesota Appeals Court, and seven different local courts here in my area. The courts refuse, as you say, the Supreme Court refuses to see us. They pick and choose what they want to go through. They're never going to look at something like what I have here. And I've sent probably, you know, I've done an emergency docket to them, and I've done a shadow docket to them, and I've done a request. I've also done an extraordinary order of relief here to them. They pick and choose, and that's the problem with the Supreme Court and all the other courts. They pick and choose which innocent to defend and which innocent person to violate, and which innocent person to prosecute. That's the problem with the military is not doing that. They're not writing laws to go through here and prosecute the innocent. They're not writing laws to go through and victimize the innocent. It's only the public employees that are doing that, and it's only the bar lawyers. The JAGs aren't doing that. They're not participating in that, and that's my point here. You can't win through a court that refuses to defend the innocent and then picks and chooses which person has been victimized to defend and which one to prosecute.
Well,
I
think exposing them to this paper in the sense that if the, again, that's where the people need to be involved here. You know, the people have to be pressing this. And so the if the people are conscious of this paper and it's being, and they're doing what you're doing, okay, by getting papers out to anybody they think, to any elected individual. Look at, you know, this is 104 pages. You can make a couple of copies of that, put a staple on it, and send it to your representatives. That's extremely important. And
we've already done this with all my representatives in Minnesota, all of them in South Dakota. I sent them to my city council. I sent them to the school boards. I've sent them to the three sheriffs that we've had here in Rock County. I have sent it to numerous other D.C. Legislators and senators. I've done my due diligence, and I will continue to do my due diligence, and I am the people. The thing is, the people are only the innocent. We are all innocent, and we are not. Those guys are every one of those people that have gone through and either are complacent with all those judges and all those judges and all those bar lawyers, they are guilty right now, and they need to serve their, and they need to be prosecuted for the crimes they've committed. And the statutes that they wrote that are premeditated laws to commit violence against the innocent, those laws are the proof. So can I finish though first?
Yeah, go ahead.
To go through and beg the Supreme Court or any other court, they're the ones that are writing the laws and sanctioning these laws and commissioning these laws. They're commissioning mass murder. They're commissioning mass slavery of the innocent, the sovereign. We the people that have not violated a right, or we have been, you know, served our sentence. They're writing these laws. That is the actual premeditated proof, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they are committing premeditated laws. They have sanctioned doctors, and they have sanctioned corporations to mass murder innocent children and to sell their body parts in the marketplace. And my point is, I'm never going to go to the person that raped me and ask them for forgiveness or beg them through a form to do so. That's why I'm begging that the military, because everybody in the military understands duty.
But again, you have to filed your papers of concern. Look at the Declaration of Independence, okay? And this is in the fashion of the Declaration of Independence that we're doing to them, to serve them notice. We have never been able to get a paper to in front of the justices of the United States Supreme Court. Every paper we've sent them, there's a doorkeeper there, and which is the clerk, and they prevent going through, and they mail them back to us, and they tell them, oh, just go to, they don't even understand what we're writing, or maybe they do, and they don't know what to say, because this is a presentment. You don't go to trial courts. A grand jury doesn't go through a trial court to bring a presentment to the United States Supreme Court. No, they send it directly to them, and they must take it up for consideration. But it's something that exposes them. It sets the stage. We may spark a movement within the Supreme Court where they finally break down and realize, look, we do have to do something. We're losing our nation. We have to do something, so let's work on the things that the people want us to do, and let's make the declaration. Let's open up the courts of justice. Let's do what is our duty to do. So that's an opportunity. Hold on. That's an opportunity number one. Remember, you know, when Trump is dealing with these people and trying to, you know, over in Iran, for instance, and you get a lot of people saying, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that, and you got Israel pushing to go in and do things, you got other nations, you got some other Arab nations over there that want to move in and do something, and they're going to move in, they're going to do something, but Trump is holding them back and saying, no, we're not ready for that yet. We have to give opportunity. We have to let it be known. The people have to see. They have to see that we've given them every opportunity, and then still not doing it, we're going to do it by force, because these people are insane people. They're fanatics. They think that their God, which is Satan, is requiring them, and their God is requiring them to kill people and do all these evil. That is true. Their God is Baal, okay? And they don't realize it yet. They see.
Huh? I agree with you, but my point to you is, even Donald Trump doesn't understand. If he did understand, he would not have allowed the courts of New York. He was innocent. He did not violate a right.
I agree with your thinking here, but there's another side to this coin, and that is, let's let them do what they're doing. Let the people see what they're doing. That woke a lot of people up. Every time they took him to court, every time they attacked him, more and more people got behind him. So, you know, he did it the right way. Just like, look, from one standpoint, we should have went in and finish the job in Iran, which the next section of work that they're going to do, it's going to be accomplished. It's probably going to take a couple of weeks, but that's going to be force. And it's going to happen because, these people are fanatical, and they believe, they're true believers in evil, and they don't realize they're true believers in evil. But in any event, okay, Trump is giving them the opportunity. The opportunity is for the people, not for them. We don't care anymore about them, what they think or do. Same thing with all these people that need to go to jail. He's got to get the people on their side, and that's why he's doing it slowly. That's why he's serving notice. That's why he's bringing all these things out slowly, little by little. People have to digest it. And the same thing is here. We're giving them notice. They have to, and the people have to digest this too. And the people got to get involved. I'll tell you, I get very upset because I listen to some places I go, and you see the people talking. I've been to places where I've talked to people, and after talking to people, I see nobody has joined to do the work. They all bitch, moan, and complain. But when it's time to go do something, they're not doing anything. You know,
I am.
Oh, yeah, I know. There are a few people, and that's why we're here, because of those few people that are supporting what we're doing. And it doesn't necessarily mean by money. It's by involved.
I'm doing what I'm commanded to do. I don't support any human being. I support the truth. I support that they defend the innocent, and they're not. I'm not in a group or with a group. All of us innocent people should know what is right and the laws of right, and we should know that we're being violated and victimized, but we don't. Even Trump doesn't know that he's being violated. He called it a witch hunt, which he's correct about, but then his lawyers also, it cost him, you know, millions of dollars to defend himself, and he should have known that that's exactly what they did here.
I agree with you, and he knows it too. Again, I think he allowed this to happen. He wanted the people to see what they're doing. Okay, and now it's really being exposed, because now it's been exposed what they really were looking for when they raided him down in Florida. Okay, now the people know what the papers were that they were looking for, which was a lot of the information concerning the subversion. But here's the thing, you know, it's really late, we've got to move on, we've got one other caller, but what I'd like to do is continue this conversation next Monday, but why don't you send something to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and send us something, information on War and Peace. I'd like to see the format of that. I haven't looked into that kind of thing. So send me what you have on that. And then you mentioned something, a writ of War and Peace particularly, but you also mentioned something that we might want to put into the papers. If you think that we have a paragraph or a couple of sentences that we might want to add, send us that too, and then we'll take that into consideration. I did share this with the leadership, and I'm hoping to get a meeting with the leadership in the next day or two to discuss their thoughts and ideas on the paper that we just read tonight, and they'll hopefully have read through all of it.
Let me give you a compliment here, and I've never meant to insult anybody on here. I said to you guys here that I've read through the writ today. I understand everything that you're doing here, and I understand the purpose behind it, and I agree with it. I do not disagree with it. But it doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree. What matters is what the truth is. And what I'm doing with my writ is basically the same as what you're doing with your writ. It's just you're going through the public courts and I'm going through the military courts. That's just the difference.
Hold on. My question to you, though, is the writ that you're doing is the writ of War and Peace?
The writ of War and Peace upon the innocent. Which one do you want to do? Do you want to violate yourself or do you want to defend yourself when you have yourself defended when you're innocent? That's kind of the point.
How many pages is that paper?
Oh, it's not very long. I'd say probably 8 pages.
Why don't you send me a copy of that to mail? You know, all of our leadership gets whatever goes to mail.
Yeah.
So send it to mail, because maybe that is the next step. Maybe a couple of weeks after this paper, if we're not hearing anything, maybe that's the next step of a paper.
Here's what I want to say to you is I don't think I'm better than anybody there, and hopefully you guys don't think you're better than me. What I'm saying here is that we both have the same goal. These guys should not be in office. They should be gone. And I think the only way to get that done is to have the military go through here and clean house. And the only way to get that done is to have the president and the military, because he's in charge of both the public and the military employees. And his job should be here along with them here. And that's where I would maybe ask for your help. I've put him in there and I've taken him out because he's also complacent with what's going on. And that's the problem for me, is because he should know better. But it's very easy for everybody to be lost, and he's lost out there too.
You're talking about the president, right?
Dick Lindell, you know, he's losing.
About the president, right?
I'm talking about the president, but I'm also, Mike Lindell is very good friends with the president. And Mike Lindell now, he's pushing for him to be governor of Minnesota. Mike Lindell right now is being fined $500 a day because the voting booths here, they're going after him for another $130,000 over the $500 million they've already taken from him, and so now he's being fined $500 a day.
That's a person we should copy. I'll try to find his address. You know, the problem with people that are out there, it's very difficult to communicate with people that have a large following. And, you know, look, if you have a large following, then you need more people responding to people that are trying to communicate with you. We purposely, and we've been doing this since 2008 or 2009 when we started working on the web things. And our purpose, and we've been here every Monday, our purpose is to be able to communicate with people, hear what they have to say, and exchange information. And also the main thing is to teach people how to have government by consent. That's our true purpose here. But the thing is that we also, if you go to our directory, you'll find a lot of people out there that are in the national leadership. You'll find phone numbers. You'll find emails. We're very easy to be contacted, okay? And just by sending mail at National Liberty Alliance, again, that's another contact. Now, I don't respond to a lot of that. I, A lot of that is responded by others. And sometimes I should respond to things that maybe I miss, because I get a lot of information, a lot of email, and it's difficult to keep up on things and so on and so forth. But the point I'm trying to say, the main point, is people can get the ideas up to the leadership here in this organization, NationalLibertyAlliance.org. But a lot of these places, you know, I try to get a hold of a lot of people. I can't get a hold of anybody, you know, and I look for the mailing address and...
For him, for Mike Lindell, I have an email contact with him, for him. You won't get it otherwise. That's the only way. I'll send that to you.
Yeah, send that to us, and I'd like to get a literal mailing address so we can literally mail a paper. But if we have to do it through email alone, that's fine. And I hope everybody is out there moving this through email. You know, sending it to the we need to get onto podcasters. One of the people I'm going to try to connect with, I haven't tried yet, is Rogan. Maybe we can get on a Rogan. If we get onto Rogan, we get a lot of exposure, you know. I'll talk anywhere. I'll talk to anyone, anywhere, at any time. I mean, I got to put in scheduling, of course. But that's how we got to get it out there. So we need the people to do that work. We need the people to make the connections, to get the word.
John?
You know? Yep.
I would really like to work with you with this writ of, you know, a writ of quo warranto, and it's also the writ of, you know, war or peace upon the innocent. I'd like to work with you on that, and I'll present it to you.
Yeah, I'd like to see what you have, and then I'll try to run something from our perspective on it, and we'll share it back and forth. And I'm trying to communicate with other people. There's a lawyer that I mentioned earlier on tonight that seems to understand that the bar is a fraud and destructive to who we are as a people and our republic. And I'm trying to communicate with him because I think he can give me information for places that I don't have knowledge. We also have another lawyer that we've known. He's wrote the book, The Excellence of the Common Law, Brent Allen Winters. You may be familiar with him if you've been with us long enough. And I'm trying to get a hold of him. I just recently spoke with Sheriff Darr, who's very close with Brent Allen Winters, the author of the book. And he's going to be coming on our program one Monday soon. Matter of fact, if anybody has any questions for Sheriff Darr, send them to questions. I think that's what we're doing here. Send it to questions at nationallibertyalliance.org and make sure you put in the subject matter, you know, question for Sheriff Darr, D-A-R. And so we're collecting questions, so when he comes on, I'll be talking with him about what subject he wants to communicate with. He's very, very active and has collected a tremendous amount of information concerning fraud on the election. And so maybe he'll be talking about that. I don't know, but we'll give him the whole program if he wants, you know, the whole 2 hours. But I need to get out there to talk to people. I need to make connections with podcasters. I need to get the message out. People need to get the message out, and we do need financial support, and we need it now because we're ready to file papers, and I want to start doing this week, at the end of the week potentially, but. I may hold off longer in order to talk to people that I haven't been able to talk to yet, because I like to get insight from especially people who are in the courts, you know. I want to get insight from them. But in any event, I hope that people do what you're doing and getting word out concerning these things to everyone and anyone that they feel they should be getting it out to, especially people who represent them. And everyone should get out the book. Again, it's only $39, so it's not $1 million here, but it's the most important book, in my opinion, to get to your sheriff, and that's Government by Consent. And if you want, also to your elected individuals, but I'd wait till after the election for that to see who gets into office. You know, when every 2 years Congress is completely gone out and new people coming in, of course, we always have the same people coming back in again over and over and over again, and that's problematic. Hopefully, we're going to get a lot of new people. So people shouldn't waste their money on buying a book for individuals who may not be going into office. Of course, if you've got a good patriot that looks strong and probably will get into office, you get a copy to them now, because we need to communicate our thinking and positions and get these papers out. Papers are free. It's just going to cost you printing and mailing. And you only need to mail a couple of people, And you could do it by email, too. You know, it doesn't have to be done by physically printing it out and getting it out. You can get the email of your representatives and send it out that way. But we need to get this message out. You know, and people need to learn and to know how to have government by consent. All right, it's getting really late, and I got one other person, so we'll talk some more, Terry. Appreciate the call. Okay, let me go to the next caller, listed as anonymous. Maybe you can give us first name and your state.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is Elizabeth. Hi.
We're at the end of our program, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, I've been sitting here for a while. First of all, I wondered if, you know, the leadership you speak of, are they listed anywhere on the website?
Yeah, in the directory.
In the directory. Oh, excellent. Okay. That's fine.
Go to the directory, top blue bar, and you can see the district breakdowns and the contacts. Now, I don't know, you know, sometimes people set up for positions and then they don't respond or they fall asleep
that's
or whatever.
Fine. No, it's fine. They just sounded kind of mysterious. So thank you for that. A couple of things and I'll try to be brief, John, and it's hard for me sometimes, but I'm really getting better at it. My understanding is we are under military law, and so everything that I've been hearing makes sense to me. And like every time something comes up with Trump, you know, in the Supreme Court, he always wins because he has to call the shots. He's the commander in chief, and he's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders right now. And having said that, there's one other thing. When you were reading the presentment, did you divert for a moment over to the grand jury handbook or the sheriff's handbook? You were talking about it was saying that whenever there are two or more people, you know, and maybe you were reading the Declaration of Independence, but who are conspiring against the Constitution, that it's our duty to, you know, they're committing treason, right? So I'm going to it with this. We're going to face infiltration in the committees of safety. We're going to face it because they can't help themselves. And we just, you know, I'm looking for ways to be able to address that, you know, formally, because that's going to happen. I mean, you look at Minnesota and all that stuff that went on there. I couldn't believe I saw Americans out there acting crazy like that. And so anyway, but where was that in the presentment or was that in another publication you were referring to?
Well, everything I read tonight is in the papers. You know, we've given reference to a lot of these things already. And we've sent a copy of the book, Government by Consent, to every person on our list that we listed as to be copied. They all have a book. And actually, it's more than that because we did 45 people. We're not doing 45 people this time, but we are doing the people we've listed. I'm going to maybe add one or two people in there. I was going to do the JAGs, but we've done them already. We've sent them writ quo wantos. We've sent them presentments. We've sent them copies of what we sent to the United States Supreme Court. And we have heard nothing from them either. But I do think that they need the leadership of the president, because that's the guy whose mind we have to change if that's a necessity. I do think, look, Trump is brilliant. I mean, he really is brilliant. And I got to believe at this point in time, he knows and understands what we're talking about here, especially through the experiences that he's had in the courts. He knows. So that's the guy we really got to work on, that and trying to really press the necessity of the patriots that are on the Supreme Court to get rid of the old thinking. You know, the old thinking goes all the way back to the beginning of this nation concerning the fact they try not to really make strong decisions concerning constitutional issues, and they try to really push it off into using statutes in order to support the point that a particular point in the Constitution might be made. And when I took my first course, which I learned from a lawyer, it was an online course. And that course that I took to learn this process and procedure, a lot of places and things I've done to learn. But that particular person, one of the things he talked about was, look, if you can use a statute or something in order to make your point instead of the Constitution, don't use the Constitution, use the statute. You see, that's something they're taught. And me, I go the opposite way. I use the Constitution first and the statutes that support it. Because these people need to be declaring the law, not getting involved in issues. And there's a big difference on that. Issues like, for instance, they had no business sticking their nose into the issues concerning the Bible or prayer in school. None whatsoever. Because that made a law from the bench. You know, Congress cannot make a law. Okay, so there is no law that says you can't have the Bible in school, that you can't pray. We are who we are, and if parents don't like certain things, they have the opportunity to ask their children to be dismissed from a certain situation at a certain time. That's up to them. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. But that shouldn't be, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, you know, and that's what they've done. They've thrown Christ out of our courts. And that's they're gonna have to deal with an angry God, because that day will come, and they're gonna have to pay the toll of what they have done, the evil that they have supported, the fact that they abrogated God from our nation, took him away out of our courts, took his law out of our courts. His justice is not going to sleep forever. That day will come. So, but. Okay, we got to cut it short, but we can continue this conversation more next Monday. We're way over. I just wanted to give the opportunity.
Yeah, just thought I'd bring it up. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, that brings us to the end of our program. We ran a little long, but we'll come to the end. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.